Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Clay and Lorraine Show on KMOVE.
Welcome to KMOVE Radio, radio for people on the move. I'm Lorraine Carasosa, here with Clay Goodman.
And today, our guest is Mike Tuohy, who is a
cartoonist and a children's book creator.
That's right. We do not have a rock and roll star on today. But Mike, you know, doesn't sing like Bernard Fowler or Lisa Fisher, and may not play the horns like the Tower of Power, and doesn't play the percussion and sing like Sheila E. But he's a very, very talented person, and he's had quite a few successes, including its live cartoon in the New Yorker, plus the children's book, right?
Yes, a lot of children's books, and some of them include Point Dexter, Outfoxed,
Wake Up Rupert, and Mounce and the Hippo.
Woohoo!
Which I like the Hippo. So this is going to be a little different show, but I think that what you're going to see here, because we've read his bio, and is that Mike Tuohy is a great example of what can happen to people who follow their passion.
That's right.
Yes, if you have young kids in the room, draw them close up so they can listen to this show. Okay, so let's go to the KMOVE studio and let's talk to Mike Tuohy.
Yes, this should be fun.
It'll be fun.
Welcome to KMOVE Radio, Mike.
How are you doing today,
well,
Mike?
I'm doing great, and thank you for calling, and I'm delighted to be able to talk to you.
Yeah, well, we've been looking forward to this for some time.
Yes, we have.
Yeah.
Well, I heard that you two were classmates in Palo Alto.
That's right. Right, Mike?
That's right. But I don't think we ever had any classes together.
No, and there's a reason for that. I'll explain later. But so, on the answer, though, Mike and I were classmates at Coverly High School in Palo Alto, which now closed. But it was a Coverly class of 74.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'll buy that.
I'll buy that.
The truth is, it was 64. But you know, but on the radio, we could have probably stuck with 74. But so one of the reasons why we didn't have classes together was I wasn't a very good high school student, and I believe you were.
No, you're incorrect about that. I think that. That we were just in different tracks of poor student. I was a pain in the butt to match my teacher, so I was shuttled around probably as was appropriate at the time.
Yeah. So we went to Wilbur Junior High School together too, right?
Well, I went to Terman.
I went to Terman.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we came in with different peer groups.
Yeah. Was Terman lane A lane, B lane, C lane like Wilbur was?
No. Either that or I was too out of it to realize. But I was in the C lane.
I use that as an excuse. I was psychologically damaged the rest of my life because they put me in a low B, high C lane. And then all my other friends like Mike Rainey and Pete Marisol, they're higher lane.
Yeah, yeah.
And they never let me forget about it.
Oh, God.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of us were ADD, which I've discovered in later life. That's actually initials for why I was moved around to different classes back then. So that's nice to have it official now.
Me too. Me too. It's funny.
Yeah. All right.
But
the club. Yeah. The after school club.
Absolutely. But you know, we've had some pretty amazing people out of the Coverly class of '64. Besides, I mentioned, you know, Mike Rainey and my friend forever and Peter Marisol, you know, I keep up with him, but
I just saw Pete for the first time in many, many years, just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, so Peter doesn't know this yet, but I'm going to make a lot of money off him because I'm going to enter him in a spelling bee.
All right, well, you can put my money in there too.
Yeah. I mean, in a vocabulary test, he would kill it. But the big celebrity we had was, at the time, it was Mike Kaku, but now he has a different name. God bless him.
Yeah.
And since Lorraine and I have trouble pronouncing that name, we got a little help here for us, Mike.
Here we go.
Michio Kaku.
Yes. One more time.
Michio Kaku.
Okay, there you go. That's how you pronounce his name. That's Dr. Kaku's name.
I think I got it. It's one word.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. I guess, you know, he's considered, you know, one of the smartest men on the planet, if not the
Yeah, I know. He's done us all proud. Very impressive what he's accomplished and continues to accomplish.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And I was never in any of his classes either, not in PE.
Oh my God!
No, actually, I managed to get out of all science classes. I don't know how I did that, but I went all through high school without a single science class, which I've suffered over later on. But Mike and I never crossed paths either.
Yeah, I too didn't go to a science class, but because I was in the parking lot.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we're in a test group out there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we're experimenting.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. With all this talk about school and in the past, was there a teacher that inspired you at all, Mike, or a family member?
Well, I just had so much encouragement from teachers right from the start in early elementary school. All the way through. I had a third grade teacher who kept me after class to look at art books with me, which is memorable, Miss Wilson. And I just got encouragement from classmates as well. We used to listen to, I think it was like the Carmen Dragon Symphony Hour or something like that, and everyone got to draw. And the kids would come around, and I would draw things that they'd request and all, even back then, which is basically what I'm doing today.
Wow.
You know, nothing has changed too much, but that encouragement from teachers, class, mates, and my parents were totally supportive of my going into the arts from the very beginning, too. So it was all around. There was a teacher in high school, Mrs. Johnson, who encouraged me a lot, too, and connected me with illustrator Howard Brody, a famous war correspondent illustrator, and that was a meaningful meeting for me, and that was because of her connection.
Oh.
So anyway, I was really lucky every step of the way.
Did you have Mr. Carlson? He was an art teacher too.
I did. I did have him, and I remember going on some field trips with him and all too. I also had someone named Mr. Silverman, I think, when I first started at Pepperdine.
I remember that name.
Our teacher who was very progressive, a good influence, too.
Well, that's good. Actually, this kind of goes right into my next question for you, Mike. You know, Clay and I have seen a real truth to the old saying, follow your passion. And
yes.
We do that with our guest stories,
yes,
right?
Yeah. You know, it's amazing, Mike. We had the founder and leader of Tower of Power, Emilio, on our show. And Tower of Power, as kids, went out and started a band before they learned how to play the instruments.
Yeah.
And it seems that, you know.
That's passion.
Yeah,
yes.
That's passion. And, you know, our mutual friend and classmate, Michael Knopp, has told us about you in grammar school as well. And
right.
And it seems like, you know, you have been able to follow your passion, and it's worked out very well for you.
Right, exactly.
Yes, No, that's true. And my wife, who's really my creative partner and has been all along, and she has fostered that passion also and made things possible for me, too. So I've been extremely lucky all the way through.
Much to be grateful for.
Yeah.
I know, and you know, Clay mentioned your classmate Michael Knopp. He actually sent us some questions.
Yeah, he helped us with this.
Yeah,
and
so for the show.
Okay.
And his question is, did you have a neighborhood newspaper in elementary school?
I might. If you're listening, thanks for remembering that. I did it actually for several years.
Wow.
And it was about a 3 or 4 page newspaper, and it came out either weekly or monthly, depending on how industrious I was. And I was the reporter. The level of my stories was like, who got a new car in the neighborhood, and who broke an arm, and things like that. You know, it was very local. But the real reason that I did it was so that I could do my own comics page, which was the last page of my little newspaper, and I did a whole comics page trying to kind of copy the different genres of comics that were in the regular newspapers. So I had a sci-fi strip and an animal strip, a cartoon animal strip, and there was one I think called the Square Planet, which everything was, the planet was square and everything on it was square,
oh.
all of the space beings and everything, and I carried those on with like a continuation from one week to the next with those storylines. So I got good experience through all of that and my aspiration at that time was to get syndicated in a real newspaper.
How old were you, Mike, when you were doing
that? Well, I did all that when other kids were doing lemonade stands. So that was kind of my entrepreneurial
right.
phase.
Wow.
And I did that probably from, I don't know, maybe 9 to 11 or something like that.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So how did you get started selling cartoons to magazines then?
Well, that started after I hung on in art school till I was close to 30 years old. Hung around, I should say. And when I got out, I thought I might teach. And then I didn't get hired right away. So, what really happened is I was working a part-time job at the records room at UC Berkeley in the hospital there. And there was a notice on a bulletin board just saying cartoonists wanted to draw up some gags written by a longtime radio humorist. So I would normally have not paid much attention, but I just plucked it off the bulletin board and made a call. And a guy showed up who was... I thought very old. He probably was way younger than I am now. He reached into his wallet and pulled out a crumpled brown little piece of paper with some gags written on them that went all the way back to probably the early 1930s.
Oh, wow.
But we chatted and got along, and I actually did draw up a few of his ideas. He insisted that his name be featured on each of the cartoons. Which is not standard procedure, and we sent them off to the New Yorker. Of course, we decided to go for the biggest, and nothing surprisingly sold from that batch of cartoons. But that it really got me started, I met another guy who had. It turned out made a living and put his kids through college just freelance cartooning to various magazines, a lot of them very small magazines like farm magazines, he was very generous. His name was Charlie Dennis, and he kind of showed me the ropes on how to freelance, and that kind of opened up a world for me. I was really excited that I didn't realize you could make a living just sending things around, and when they came back, send them out to another magazine.
Right. Yeah.
And so that's what I did. Followed that path then for a long time.
Yeah, I was gonna say that. So he showed you how to make a living following your passion.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
it was really exciting. The first time that I was published. I wasn't even informed that the cartoon had sold.
Uh-huh.
I happened to be, I went into an old smoke shop, picked up a Saturday Evening Post and looked at it, and there was my cartoon published, and that was a burst.
Yeah, it's like hearing your song on the radio.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool. That's awesome.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. and at that point I was addicted. I just kept doing it, and it took me a while to break into the New Yorker, but eventually I did that.
Let's pull our truck over here and take a little truck stop.
Great.
So we're going to be right back, and we're going to talk to Mike about how do you illustrate a children's cartoon book, what's age appropriate, how do you know these things, and all kinds of fun things. So don't move away. We're going to park the truck and be right back.
Grill 57 is the newest forget-me-not restaurant in the Bay Area.
Have an unforgettable dining experience at Grill 57. Nestled in Las Gatas, everyone is talking about how good the food is.
How good is the service?
Unforgettable.
It is the place where all the K-Move movers and shakers are going now. Clay and Lorraine promise you will not forget the dining experience you will have at Grill 57.
Check out their website for directions. Like their Facebook for the specials. You too can be a K-Mover and Shaker at Grill 57.
At Forget Me Not, Silicon Valley Restaurant is the Grill 57 of Las Gatas.
Welcome back, and you're listening to K-Move Radio with special guest Mike Tuohy.
Yes, my classmate. my question I want to ask, and it's a good question for me to ask because I really want to know the answer. How do you create a children's book? Do you have the whole story in your head at the start and then do it, or do you create it as you go?
Yeah, I kind of live with a lot of ideas all the time, and I'm constantly, just in my mind, trying out different approaches, different characters and things like that, and I almost instantly shoot them down. This is kind of a waking process for me, you know, that really nothing clicks. But the way I do my cartoons for magazines and newspapers is that I go to a cafe and just kind of work on them like math problems. You know, I just work them out. And the truth is that most of the children's books I've done have followed that same process, and I thought of them at the same cafes and the same sessions that I normally do my other cartooning. And some of the children's books have taken a lot of work, and I've really, really teased them out and edited them and changed the endings and all that. And my family has been involved in whittling them down and helping shape them with me. And other ones, a couple of them have come really quickly. Like one titled Out Fox, this is unusual, but I went to my favorite cafe and sat down and wrote the first line of it. It was a stormy night, whatever that first line was.
Right.
And I just went forward on it. I had no idea where I was going, no idea how I was going to end it. And at the end of about an hour, it was complete, and I almost didn't edit it at all
after that.
So I've gone back to that same cafe many times, sat in the same chair, and waiting for that to happen again. That was a one-time thing.
You know, I'm going to say that, you know, we've had several rock and roll stars here lately on our show, and some of them have told us that they had almost the same thing of creativity, almost like a lightning bolt when they wrote the song.
Right.
Yeah, back to the Tower of Power, they wrote that their greatest song, You're a Young Man Now.
Yeah.
All one thing. It was just a story that came to them when they were like 18 years old.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So there is a kind of a lightning bolt of creativity that I think hits some people that are as lucky as you are.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think you kind of live with some of these ideas. You know, they don't totally come out of the blue. They come out of kind of a haze in your mind or something, you know, that you kind of, something breaks through more, in my case anyway.
Well,
I'm still waiting for my case.
Yeah,
nothing's broken through. Maybe it's because it's broken.
Oh, my goodness.
Been broken for a while.
Oh, my goodness. And, you know, speaking of your children's books, how do you know what is age appropriate?
That's a good question.
I really don't, and it's kind of lucky. There are a couple of things I think that go on with that. First, I did tell lots and lots of stories, as most parents do to their kids when they're little. We did the bedtime stories, and I used to write them down with the thought that they might end up, you know, becoming something. But most of those are just starts again. Like maybe a quarter of a book, and then I'd never finish them. But in my mind, I still remember what my kids responded to, the kinds of things, the kinds of words, what they laughed at or whatever. So that's there.
Okay.
And then also when my kids were young, like starting school, every day I would put a cartoon in their lunch boxes.
Right.
And those cartoons, they were little animals. We called them funky chickens. And they were just always doing something silly, sometimes relating to what the kids were doing, like Halloween or whatever was happening around. But those little animals, we actually started putting them in to remind them to go to the bathroom at noon, so they didn't go through the whole day without doing that. So that was the origin of my children's books, because years later, I took some of those lunchbox cartoons to an editor at Simon & Schuster, and she liked a particular cartoon and asked me to develop a story around a character that she liked.
Oh.
And that became my first book, and that was my start.
Oh, my goodness.
That was Poindexter, right?
And that was Poindexter,
yay.
You're right. And she actually gave it the name. She said, let's give this guy a name. And out of the blue, she just said Poindexter. And that was my class assignment. It was like the spelling stories we used to do, where we'd have to get all the words in. Well, in this case, I would try to get all simple words into one story and include this character. And that was kind of the prototype then for what I continued doing with later stories.
Now, Poindexter was a pig, and then, of course, Outfox was a fox. Then you got a mouse,
yeah,
and a hippo. How do you decide what animal is going to be your cartoon?
I often just start by doodling, and one animal will kind of take over or whatever. And then, like with the mouse hippo one, that's the latest one that just came out last month, actually. It's called Mouse and Hippo.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. I like
and,
the hippo.
And that's based on a very small animal and a big animal.
Yeah.
and that's kind of the basis, that's kind of the theme of the story.
Right. How about your cartoon for The New Yorker, That's Life? Is there a moral ethic message you want to deliver in that one?
That's kind of situational, but
okay.
No. Sometimes I think my liberal bent comes in on the more political type ones,
right.
and that suits the New Yorker, which shares my point of view.
Yeah.
Okay. So sometimes they get kind of political, but I think that they more just kind of reflect a general sensibility and worldview without trying to teach. If you try to get too much of a message in, well, a lot of times it isn't as funny.
Yeah. So speaking of being funny, this is a question really for Lorraine and I to
right.
deal with. What bothers us about the radio business?
Well, we don't get instant gratification, so we don't know if we're funny or entertaining to people.
Or if anybody's even listening.
Because, we can't hear, we can't hear the laughter.
No, I'm listening to you.
You can't hear the laughter or you can't hear the applause, so it's hard to know until later, after it's being broadcast.
And sometimes it later is months later.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's why it's kind of fun to, read my children's books to kids at schools or libraries or whatever, because that's really the only time that I do get direct response from viewers, readers. But with the cartoons, I get some email, and I used to get real snail mail. But most of the reaction used to be negative, because I would have stepped on somebody's toes over something.
Yeah.
So they're telling me what they don't like more than what they do like.
People are that way, though.
Yeah.
So let's take another little minute here. We're going to take another little truck stop.
Okay.
Pull the truck over for a little truck rest. And then we'll be right back, and we're going to finish up with Mike. We want to talk about being a writer and a cartoonist. And we're going to find out more about what's coming up next for Mike, because he's still being very creative, and how to find Mike and buy his books. So don't move away.
What's entertainment to you? Is it food, music, fashion, perhaps gossip, or maybe even politics? Well, if you listen to K-Move Radio, to the Clay and Lorraine Show, you'll have a variety of podcasts that may entertain you. So be sure to be in the know with our show
by liking us on Facebook at K-Move Radio. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at K-Move Radio. K-Move.
Welcome back, and you are listening to K-Move Radio, and again, we have special guest, Mike Huey.
Yes, the class of 64, Coverley class of 64. Very honored class, and when one of them, of course, is Mike Huey, who is his famous cartoon books and his cartoon, That's Life, in the New Yorker. I, on the other hand, have not been so famous, but I still feel competitive in things that I do. Do you feel, Mike, competitive with other cartoonists and writers? There are like a competition between y'all?
It's kind of an interesting mix because there's a real camaraderie among cartoonists that I've found, and competitiveness because you got a lot of people vying for a little bit of space in the magazines, and you know they're going to be winners and losers in the New Yorker every week. But a lot of the cartoonists meet at the New Yorker and go out to lunch together after they've submitted their cartoons in person. And I used to go back at least once a year and go to some of the lunches there and hobnob with some of the cartoonists. And there's a camaraderie because everybody's doing the same activity and everybody has the same struggles and there's a kind of a mutual understanding of what everybody's dealing with, and that's really nice, and there are real friendships there too. So it's a little bit of a mix because you are competing as well.
Right. So Mike, what's upcoming for you?
Yeah. Well, thanks for asking that. My book, Oops, Pounce, Quick Run, it's an alphabet book and kind of a beginning reader, and. I've done a sequel to that now, which is an opposites book, and that's being published by the same publisher that did the alphabet book, and it has the same dog character in it that the alphabet book has, but now it has a cat instead of a mouse, and hence the opposites, and in that one the cat. Wants nothing to do with the dog, but just wants to have a close pal.
Oh.
And so the whole opposites book tells a story as the alphabet book did too. So even though you're dealing with opposites of yes, no, and stay, go, each page progresses to the next and ends up with a conclusion to the story. So that's the one that I just finished now. I'm actually working on the cover for that, and that'll probably be out in maybe about a year, actually, before it's in the bookstore,
wow.
Because everything takes way longer than I ever guessed when I started out doing children's books.
Wow.
But we can buy these books on Amazon because it's part of Simon & Schuster, right?
That's right.
Yeah,
everything is on Amazon. Yeah.
And then you have a Facebook.
Yeah, I'm on Facebook. Yeah, I never set up a website. That's something I'm going to do tomorrow, and I've been saying that for, for several years.
Lots of tomorrows.
So
lots of tomorrows.
If someone wants to follow you, do we just look up your name then on Facebook?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just under my name, right?
Okay. Perfect. Well, this has been fun, Mike.
Yeah, this is fun. We're going to follow you closely, and when you come out with new books, we promise to put it on the K-Move Radio Facebook.
Yes.
Hey, this is our guest, and I want to thank you as a fellow classmate for coming on. I want to also say thank you to Michael Knopp, classmate, for helping us, and I think it's a good time for me to do a shout-out to my two friends I love so much, Mike Rainey and Tom Evers, because if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have been able to catch up. I mean, I graduated from college, went to UC Berkeley, then UC Santa Barbara later than the rest of you. But Mike and Tom had a huge, huge assist in getting me through college. In fact, Tom Evers and I taught high school together in Santa Barbara. So I just want to thank
them. Uh-huh.
It's just fellow members of the class of 64.
Hello to them from me. Also, I remember them well from our high school years.
Yeah.
And a special hi to Mike Kopp, too, who was sweet enough to write in and remember that I did that newspaper back when we were kids.
Yeah, good guy. He and I had a little discussion about who graduated last from the class of 64. I've claimed it. But then he had to go to summer school, so it's kind of a a toss-up, but it was fun. I had lunch with Dr. Kaku with a group of us, and I sat next to him, and I said, I assume, Doctor, that you graduated first in our class. He said, of course. And I said, you know, you're sitting next to the guy who graduated last in our class. I don't know if he believed me, but I made him laugh a little bit.
That's kind of bookends there.
So anyway, Mike, congratulations on doing some really spectacular things. And good
for
you for following
your
passion. I think, you know, you're a great example of following your passion.
Thank you. It was a real pleasure to talk to both of you.
Thank
you.
Clay and Lorraine Show on KMOVE.
The Clay and Lorraine Show.